Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
Good.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I thought on this edition of Word Made Flesh, we would really try to speak in general terms, as we've kind of concluded our study of Brendan Manning's work, The Ragamuffin Gospel, and how that's impacted our, maybe even our thoughts, you know, what's kind of triggered some things, some continued contemplative thought for us as we examine our own lives and what have you. Things maybe we put into action or we desire to put into action, all those type of things. How has the book impacted us? And I guess to summarize, the Ragamuffin Gospel for Brendan Manning is we need to embrace God's grace. Right? And meaning for Brendan, you know, can we accept that God has accepted us as we are, not as we should be? Now, those of us here at Neighbors of Hope, through this journey, we've realized that everybody here is wrestling with some issue of pain. Every human being on the planet has some issue of pain. Right? And biblically speaking, through Brendan, realize that we're offered two responses to our pain. We're either going to fear it, and if we fear it, we're going to regress. Usually back into our addiction in this case. If we fear it, we may regress back into our depression. You know, maybe your pain is from the loss of a loved one or something. Whatever it is, we all have these. And through our regression, we tend to numb that pain somehow. That could be substance related or non-substance related. Right? Promiscuous sexual activity. Right? Pursuit of money, or it could be drugs and alcohol. Brendan says when we can accept God's grace, so we can accept that God accepts us as we are, not as we should be, we can then be empowered to embrace our pain. And by embracing our pain, allow our pain to break us. When we allow our pain to break us, in a sense, we're putting it to death. It's kind of the spiritual equivalent of, Paul says in Colossians, put to death your sinful nature. Right? It's allowing us, it's the spiritual equivalent of us crucifying. Right? Out of that embracement of our pain, the crucifixion, is raised a new, right? A transformed, a changed, what the Apostle John calls born again, right? A resurrected. What Paul then says, we become new creatures. New, not old creatures, new creatures in Christ. Right? Having said all that, it's just kind of an overview and summary of what we've been hearing Brendan lead us in this journey. What say you? How you doing with grace? How are you doing with your identity as a ragamuffin? How is this helping you with your own pain? Is this helping you? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, for me, my whole life, I've always dealt with, there's two ways you can deal with pain, and love or fear. And I think in my life, until coming to Neighbors of Hope and listening to Pastor Steve, I've dealt with it in the fear way, and it led to my addiction. But now that I sit around these tables, I understand Jesus's grace, that he loves me as I am, not as I should be, that allows me to embrace whatever it is that I'm having trouble with and to put it to death so I can birth something new in my life.
Yeah, that's the tactical approach. How are you doing with this application? I know it's new. You haven't really had a whole lot of time to apply that.
Well, I'm 80 days clean and sober right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. That was a big thing for me, and I really believe that it's because of what I'm being taught here at Neighbors of Hope. And I believe I'm getting more here than I would in a rehab, for example, because I'm talking, my problems are addiction issues. So, like, my addiction issues, like, if I had, like, I started dealing, or using, not dealing, I started using to deal with something happened in my life. It was a loss of a loved one. And so, now that I'm clean, it's harder now, because now I got to deal with staying sober, plus all the issues of that loved one. Now I'm dealing with them now. So I was just pushing them away, and I didn't realize it at the time. So that's kind of where, so actually, basically what I'm saying is when you use to deal with something, it's making your situation worse, because once you will get clean at some point in time, then you're going to have to still deal with those issues that are going to come back. And plus more, because you're going to have to deal with, struggle with being clean, struggling with cravings and things like this. And that's the facts.
So if I can summarize what I hear you saying, then, that when you had this sense of pain in your life,
yes,
you feared it.
Yep.
Right, and didn't really want to face it.
No.
So you create these defense mechanisms, including numbing yourself through self-medication.
That's what I did, yeah.
So I didn't have to deal with the pain.
Yes.
You take the numbing apparatus, right, mechanism out of the equation, the pain's still there.
Yep.
Brennan, I mean, what we hear about the good news of Jesus is offers us an alternative route. We have to allow the pain to break us.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I think seeing grace as this transition from pain to love, or this, like, this apparatus in a way. It's such a hard concept for me to get as a person who was unchurched. I don't know, grace conceptually is a big thing. It's a hard thing to get my mind around. Obviously, it's a hard thing for anybody to get. So, and to use it, to see it as an apparatus from pain to love, is the only way that you could do that properly and allow something that's so negative, because it's our natural response to want to go to fear. That's our natural response to run, to numb, to not feel, to become mechanical. So I think anything in these stories that we see, whether it's realizing that you're not a brick factory, or that you can plead with God to take things away from you, but His strength is made perfect in your weakness. These
right.
points that people come up to throughout Scripture,
yep.
where they just can't
yes.
do it. That's the beauty in it.
Yep.
That's the Christ in it. You know, to see you move. So whether that's myself, whether that's, you know, and Mark, it's beautiful, and thank you for sharing your transparency on that is a number one. For a guy whose sobriety has gone from a number to a lifestyle, it is still as fresh as it is at 80 days. It's still the same deal. It's still the same deal. I still need the same grace. You know, I still need that same fountain.
Yeah, because this is much better than just being sober.
Amen.
Yeah, it's deeper. It's larger.
Amen.
It's really a journey towards becoming authentically human.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You gonna say something?
Yeah, I got a little thing out of the Ragamuffin Gospel I would like to read.
Okay, can you cite the page number for us, please?
Yes, the page number is 215. Starts at the bottom and goes into 216.
Okay.
Love may drive out fear, but some of us has to take John's challenge from the other direction first. We have to stop being afraid to make room for love. We can tell another person of our love easily enough, but if we harbor fears at the back of our minds, does he really love me? How could he? Or if I love her, will she really return that love? Or will she eventually betray me? We are holding back. We're cautious, yes, and perhaps sad, and sometimes wise. After all, who wants to be hurt? But can love flourish if hemmed in by the doubts and fears? No. I think it's the same with our love for God. Loving faith handing our lives over up to God in complete trust can happen. When we're holding back something out of fear, either the fear of punishment or the fear that the whole thing is a sham. Lord Jesus, I put my fears aside today and open my heart to you in trust.
Yep.
I kind of like.
Yep, that's kind of a good summary of what really the whole book is for Brennan. And think about how hard it is, yeah. Right? I mean, we speak about, yeah, we can't properly name God. I mean, our ancient Israelite and Jewish brothers and sisters understood this early in the Old Testament. You know, so you have the ineffable name of God, because once you name it, then you think you know it. And we have to be honest. It's incomprehensible. Doesn't mean we can't know some things about it. Doesn't mean we can't engage with it. That's hard to say that I trust something that really is incomprehensible.
Right.
So that I think that's why more often than not in our Christian spiritual walk, many of us then reduce faith as just some sort of intellectual affirmation of a belief. All right, that's. It's our way of dealing with that mysterious reality. But Brennan's talking about this hard thing. It's just one thing, you know. Can you accept that you're accepted? And Brennan adds, as you are, not as you should be. That's hard. That's hard. Simple, but not easy. But what he has said throughout the book is once you do, it will change you. You'll be resurrected. You'll be born again. You'll be transformed. You'll be a new creature. But how and when, right? We start, all right, there's your ego wanting to know all those answers. That's not, those are the wrong questions. Just be the new creature.
You know, I think too, the more every day we practice that and in our hearts accept the fact that, hey, okay, this stuff happened, okay, let's move on, okay? You know, I mean, you can't take it back, you can't, you know, I mean, it happened, okay. You know, you just have to embrace the lack, as you would say, as we've been talking about, and move on, you know? I mean, you know, but like you said, it is hard because there's times of our addictive thinking or our addictive mind when we feel hurt or when we feel, you know, ill feelings, we want to resort back to that neutral position in a baby.
Yeah, fetal position.
Yeah, position, there you go.
There's a lot of that. Probably the biggest challenge, all right, that we've all encountered when it comes to dealing with our pain, we don't, as Eric was referring to, it doesn't necessarily feel natural to feel powerless. We don't like feeling powerless. And yet, when we look at the birth of Christ, fully God, fully man, here's God in the image of powerlessness, right? An infant needs to be fed, diapers changed, et cetera, et cetera. And then what do we see on the cross? All right, we talked about he could have called down.
Right.
Right? But he embraces the sense of powerlessness.
Yeah.
All right? And we talked about he's broken, right? And we know he was tortured, then executed. He's broken. He embraces the brokenness. To give birth. Somehow, when you part of embracing our pain is also embracing our sense of powerlessness. I can't do anything about it. Yeah. And that's just it. Grace is about what God's doing, not what you're doing.
Okay.
So if you're going to embrace the power of grace, you also, in order to do that, you have to be open to your own powerlessness. That's why Eric cited. You have the scripture, you know. when I am weak, he is strong.
Yep.
You know, through my weakness, all those type of things, yes. And my powerlessness, grace has its way. Right? And that's, we're not used to that. In most of our lives, we've tried to control things. That's a power. Right? And the way we control our pain, at least in this house, is usually some form of addiction. Addictive behavior. All right, gentlemen, any closing thoughts?
Well, I just want to say real quick, too, about you said something about when's it going to happen? I want to now announce something like that. When I talked to Tim about different issues, too, that kind of relate to this, but no matter what the issue is, Tim always says that, too, about, like, my mom, for example, like, if you just forgive someone, things will start changing your life. I'm saying Tim has said stuff like that to me before, so.
It is. It's not instantaneous.
Yeah.
You know, embracing grace, welcoming our sense of powerlessness, all these things that we push back against and mm-hmm. resist, you know, it takes time to be less resistant.
Yeah.
And to be more welcoming.
But the more you practice it, the easier
the more
it gets.
Practice, yes.
I mean, that with anything, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Anything else? Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you sharing on this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.